today, early 20s, that God's just done a radical, radical work in her just recently. She had Hodgkin's lymphoma, and she had a tumor on her neck the size of a tennis ball and the consistency of a tennis ball, and it was right under, it's one of those, it wasn't one, it, you could see it. I mean, it was beautiful girl, nice long hair and all this stuff, but she had a tumor the size of a tennis ball that was right here on the side of her neck. Her dad does cancer research. He's pretty well-respected cancer research guy and all of this stuff. He said, we do not want to have chemotherapy because I know what chemotherapy does to you. It just flat out kills you. And he said, I don't want to do that. That'll be a last resort. And so they were looking at all these other things. She went to her cancer doctor in March. The cancer doctor's like, look, you guys are going to have to do chemo. There is no other alternative for this. The way this thing is, the size of it, and the type of cancer and all this stuff, and said, you are going to have to do chemo on this. April 2nd, during revival service, during praise and worship, she was down front worshiping the Lord, and God dissolved the tumor during worship. Damon said, Damon said, I have laid hands on her multiple times. And he said every time, she's their nanny, but said that during worship, she's just all of a sudden feels a heat and this thing's gone. And she goes to Tammy and she said, it's gone. And then she goes to Damon and she said, it's gone. She goes to her cancer doctor on Tuesday after this happened on the weekend, goes to cancer doctor on Tuesday, and I'll get messed up on this. The cancer doctor came in there and she said, what happened? And she said, God healed me in my church. They said that the cancer doctor got so messed up she couldn't see another patient for 2 hours. Couldn't see another patient for 2 hours. That's what we're going after. And it's God's presence. I don't understand healing, guys. But I know that it comes in on the wings of God's presence. Okay? It comes in on the wings of God's presence. And, me and Lori met this girl yesterday. Lori stood there and talked to the girl and all of that stuff. And that was April 2nd. Her mom and dad, Damon said, since this happened, they've been driving. They lived an hour and a half away. He said, they drive an hour and a half one way for every church service we have. He said, they'll drive an hour and a half for a Wednesday night prayer service. They're in the process of selling their house so they can get closer because they want to be a part of what God's doing up there right now. And all. And it's just tremendous, tremendous, tremendous. One other thing, and I won't go in detail on this totally because the Lord won't give me full detail. I got details on all this. There was a little girl that got saved, delivered, and just totally redeemed up there this weekend, Friday night and Saturday night. I watched the live stream. Somebody just in a nutshell, I'm just bragging on God right now, okay? Somebody brought her up there from Florida, and she was severely addicted to heroin. There's a guy up there that runs a lab that goes to church with him, and Damon said, he said that she was the worst physical appearance case he had ever seen in all of his years dealing with that type of addiction and all that stuff. But just putting it in a real nutshell, she had been in the sex slave trade since she was early 20s, and since she got sold into the sex slave trade when she's 15, she's been bought and sold four times in the past 8 years. One of the guys that bought her in the sex slave trade branded her, said she's got a brand on her like a cow's branded. This stuff's real in America, guys. This isn't just stuff that happens in Thailand and Cambodia and places like that. This is real in America. It blows my mind. I'm like, how can this happen in America? But it's real in America. And God totally just radically transformed her. And like I said, I don't have liberty to give full detail, but it's just, if you hear the full detail of it, you're just like, whoa. And God's moving, guys. God's moving in California, and God's moving in Texas, and God's moving in Kentucky, and God's moving in South Carolina, and God's moving in Bremen, Georgia. And I want us to go after this thing. I want us to go after His presence, and I want Him to go after. I want us to go after, just, you know, whatever it looks like and wherever it takes us. As long as His presence there, that's going to change lives, man. I walk in and I saw more youth in the foyer this morning than I've seen in I don't know how many years. You know, there's a bunch of these kids that got baptized Sunday. They're here for Bible study tonight. You know, I hope Tyler's ready. I hope Tyler's ready. You know, and we need to be praying for him. We need to be praying for Nick. We need to be praying for these guys. And we need to be praying for this. Here's the thing, too, guys. It's very important. You know, there's a lot of momentum in what's happening right now at Harrison County, and I hope the embers just fly right over to Bremen and all that. But these kids are about to be out of school for the summer. And we don't want to lose any momentum on that, okay? We don't want these kids to lose any momentum on what God's doing. So we just need to be much, much, much in prayer on that. On that vein, I just want to throw out there that we are going to be having a Christianity 101 class. I'll just label it right there. I hate to say new believer, because maybe that you're not a new believer, but you need to revisit some things. We're going to have a three-week class starting next Wednesday night. It's going to be on Wednesday nights. Brother Jeremy's going to lead the class. It's for new believers. It's for people that maybe you've been saved, but you don't, you know. It, basically, what this is what we believe, and this is why we believe it. This is what we believe, and this is why we believe it. And so, if any of you guys that are like, man, I want to do that, you know what we'll do? I can roll my whatever people that are not don't feel led to that. We can go in there, and we can do intercessory prayer for 3 weeks, and just get on our face before God for an hour a night for 3 weeks, and do that, and that would be glorious. And let Jeremy have this in here. So we'll just kind of see how that flows. If you've got anybody that you know that say, man, that would be great for them, that would be awesome for them, make the commitment to bring them. The little girl that got delivered from heroin and all of that stuff, somebody broke the law and brought her from Florida up there. She wasn't supposed to leave the state because of her probation. But when they got back, they went to the probation officer on Monday as soon as they got back, and they said, this is what we did, and this is what God did. And the probation officer believed it enough. He went before the judge, got all her charges dropped, and now she's in a Christian facility similar to the Blake House down there, and she's going to be in that, committed to that for the next 12 months to get her totally on track with God. And all, and but you know what it took? It took somebody taking a risk on somebody that was in the sex life and say, you know what, we're getting you out of this mess, and I know a place where you can go where you can have an encounter with God and He can set you free. And she drove her from Florida to South Carolina and said, we're staying up here for a few days, running the risk of doing that because she was breaking probation. But God's mercy worked on the backside. Amen. All right, so. We have got to be very, very intentional on trying to reach people for Christ and disciple these people. It's on the front end and the back end, all right? Me and Brett had a long conversation this morning, and you know what God's part is? God's part's in the middle. I know His part's the whole thing, but God, it all falls on God in the middle. But you know what a lot of it falls on? Us getting them here, and then after God does His thing, us coming in on the tail end and working the discipleship thing, working the loving thing, working the encouraging thing and all that. So that's just a challenge to throw that out there, and let's get after it, and let's be intentional, and let's be just, yes, okay, all right. Ann, did you? Amen. I have got such a peace and such a calm about Cynthia and her cancer, and I am just totally in agreement with you on that, Ann, and with what we prayed over her Sunday, and Cynthia has got a peace and a calm. She's just absolute putting her faith in the Lord and has trust in that, and I believe that same thing for her. That was one thing that Damon said was amazing about this little girl. He said, I would get frustrated with her because I would come up and I'd say, how you doing? And she's like, I'm doing good, man. I'm really good. I'm just all this. And Damon's like, no, really, how you doing? And she's like, no, really. I've got more peace about this than you obviously do. And she just had just that calm, absolute. She felt like she knew what God was going to do in her life. So that's just a yay, God. And I want us to I want us to chase after that. So did I properly cover the discipleship class the next 3 weeks? If you want to invest in some people, we've got some new Bibles. And Lisa's going to be getting some FCA Bibles, so we may be good on Bibles. But if you've got some extra Bibles that are in good shape, if you're like, man, I've got like six NIVs at home and I only study out of four of them, then bring the other two if they're in good shape, and we'll sew that into somebody's life, okay? So if y'all were like me, I've got like 20 Bibles at home, and, you know, I only use about five of them. So if you've got some extra ones, bring it up here. So when somebody, go buy a new notebook for somebody, okay? Buy a new notebook for somebody where they can come in and they can take notes and they can do things. All right, with that being said, let's just pray for the service this Sunday. Let's just be ready to go. Let's begin to consecrate ourselves, have anticipation, expectation. One reason Sunday was phenomenal is because of, I'm convinced of this, is because the body came in and believed for 2 weeks that we were going to have a phenomenal service. So guess what happened? When we showed up, we had a phenomenal service. God met us here. If y'all were already buzzing about Scott Camp coming in June, I hear a lot of buzz already about Scott coming the end of June and all that stuff. So let's be buzzing about what God's going to do this Sunday. Okay, Scott's not going to be here, and Damon's not going to be here, but I guarantee you who is going to be here, all right? I guarantee you who is going to be here, the Holy Spirit and Jesus and Father God, and so let's come in with a great sense of expectation. Well, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Just ask His blessing on the study tonight, and that our hearts would just be in a place to receive. Michael, you want to lead us in prayer tonight, brother? Y'all turn in your Bible, if you will, the book of Acts, chapter 4. I lied to you. I told you we're going to be in in Romans 6 and studying baptism, but I just, God had me go here and bring up something and talk about it. I think it's crucial for us right now. Acts, chapter 4. Yes. Daniel, is there any? Right. The Lord kept speaking a word to me yesterday as we were meeting with Damon and Tammy, and then on the way home from Augusta. And it had to do with pursuit. And I think it's a key to the power of the Church of Acts. It's what currently I long for in my life, and I am going to be looking and attracting and all of that in my life. But the word that God kept putting in me is like pursuit. I study the book of Acts, and I look at the power in that church. I look at Bethel in Redding, California, and I see people from all over the world moving there just to be in that Christian community. I see people. I met a guy, and me and Bruce met a guy, and was talking to him out at Azusa now while we were eating a hot dog at one of the breaks, and you know, he was like, "Man, I'm I'm from Colorado, but I'm one of the Bethel guys. He said, I'm from Colorado, and I moved up there, my wife and two kids. And he said, I got up there, and I realized I was the old man in the class, and he was about 35. And he said, you know, he went to BSSM, the School of Supernatural Ministry, and he said, all these other kids were Michael's age. And, you know, I come in, and I'm 35 years old with two or three kids. But he said, I just so wanted to raise my family in this environment, in this culture, and all of that stuff. And he's now on staff and is an IT guy and all of that stuff. So, you know, and everything. But if you talk to every one of the 4,000 people that were there from Bethel, probably 3,900 have a very, very, very similar story. In talking with Damon and listening to the podcast and everything that's going on up in Hope Chapel up in Batesburg, South Carolina, the people that are moving in there, it's like crazy ridiculous. Like people are resigning ministries and stuff like that to go there just to be a part of something significant that God's doing. You know, there you got praise and worship leaders and youth ministers and senior pastors and all of that, and they're like, man, we're going to base out of here and all of this stuff. You know, just while we were up there, Damon had gotten confirmation from three families from Montana. The 18 of them are moving from Montana to South Carolina just because we want to be around what God is doing in this place. And I believe the same thing happened in the book of Acts. I believe the same thing happened in chapter 4. And I look, and I've always thought that, man, they had awesome unity. And I really look, as it said, that they had singleness of heart. Everybody had everything in common. I think I was mislabeled a little bit. I don't think it was a thing where everybody came in and they were like-minded in the fact that we all get along and we love each other and we've got this communal living going on and all of that stuff. That wasn't the thing that bound them. I believe that Peter and John had a personality clash. You know, I do. I believe Peter and John, man. But you know what they had that glued them together and brought them together? They had like pursuit. I believe the key to the first century church, as we study this in Acts 4 and Acts 5, is not that they had this amazing unity because they all liked each other and they all got along and, you know, let's all go out and we just like cooking hot dogs together and all that stuff. I believe the thing that drew them together and brought them together and stirred and moved and pushed them was that they had like pursuit. They had like pursuit. And that is something that I want us to tap into. That is something that I want us to, because I've been thinking and meditating on this and allowing the Lord to speak to me on this. Why else would you have people that move from around the world to go to a little town in Northern California that's right there at Oregon if it is not a thing of, it is that I want to surround myself with people that have like pursuit. I want somebody, if you ask Nick what kind of coaches you want around you, because me and him talk about the coaching staff over at Harrison County and all of that stuff, and he's like, you know what, I'd rather have a guy that is absolutely on fire and passionate about teaching these kids life, not just how to tackle, but life, than I had somebody that's just kind of coasting out the last 5 years of retirement. He wants somebody, he hadn't verbalized this, and he probably hadn't even, these words didn't even come through his mind, but he wants somebody that has like pursuit. Like pursuit. You know, one reason this thing's catching fire over at Harrison County is because of a lot of these kids that have gotten on fire and gotten saved and they're wanting to chase after God. They've got somebody to lead them now that has like pursuit. That's going to be the difference maker. You know why it didn't stick when they came through at Bremen? Because they didn't have anybody in those authoritative positions that had like pursuit. I didn't say they didn't have Christian teachers. I said they didn't have anybody that had like pursuit. And there's a difference. Because you and I can both be saved and we can both be going to heaven, and you can be in a place in your life where you're passionate and you are chasing after God, and I can be in a place in my life where I am lukewarm and kind of going through the motion and just surviving or wanting to live the Christian American dream. And you know what? We're unequally yoked. You know what's going to galvanize this thing at Victory Fellowship and what is going to make us a place of emphasis in West Georgia and East Alabama? When we come together with like pursuit. That's what's going to galvanize this thing. Is that we have like pursuit to see souls saved. That we burn to see what happened Sunday morning. We burn to see that happen again this Sunday morning. That we burn to see that Baptist. I pray to God that every Friday part of Sonny's job is making sure the baptistry is clean and full and towels are up there and ready to go. I pray that's in your new job description, Sonny. I know that's not church administrator stuff, but I'll take that over anything else. Amen. When we get to where we burn with like pursuit to see souls change, to walk in places of healing, I don't get it, but I want to get more where I'll get it better than I do now. I know where it comes from. It comes from presence. I know where it comes from. I want to burn in these areas. I want us to burn in the place, a light pursuit in worship where we come in and say, God, we want to get in your presence. I'm not interested about this. I don't care if I heard this on J93.3 and it was cool or whatever. I want to get in your presence. We're going to come in here and we're going to worship you and we're going to bless your name and we want to have radical encounter and we want people that come with us to have radical encounter. And the thing that will galvanize this and see this be a thing that God moves and makes this a thing that I don't want to say attacks this region, but has such a level of release in this region is when we come to a place of like pursuit. Like pursuit. You guys that are married couples, y'all know how amazing it is when both of you are chasing after the same thing at the same pace. Is that not the sweet spot? Is that not the sweet spot? Where you are both chasing after the same thing at the same similar pace? How disjointed would Lori and I be right now if I was coming in and I was chasing after God and she wasn't? Would that not be the disjointed thing from a couple standpoint? Doesn't mean that it doesn't tell me to back off so she can, run at her pace or anything like that. But how blessed it is when we are unified and we come together and we are in like pursuit together. Amen? When the body gets like that, good gosh. Let's read this scripture. Then we'll bust some things open. Chapter 4, book of Acts, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. This is on the heels of the leaders in this being locked up. This is on the heels of the leaders being beaten. This is on the heels of the leaders being threatened. Don't go out and be talking about this Jesus stuff and all of this. It's going to get you in trouble and everything. This is on the heels of, you know what we're going to do? We're coming in here, and it said as soon as they let them go, they assembled together, and when they had prayed, and their prayer was that with all boldness they may speak thy word. That was their prayer. God, make us bolder. Not lick our wounds and touch us, make us bolder. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And then we come in verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. We look at that and we're like, that's the ultimate communal living, isn't it? Communism would look at that and say, that's what communism is, wouldn't they? Fidel Castro, if he read that, he'd say, see? But the thing that brought them together was not a sense of, we just got to come in here and everybody's got to do. The thing that brought them together was like pursuit. Like pursuit. That was the thing that brought them together. That was the thing that galvanized this thing. All right, while you're there and while you're thinking on that, let me quote something to you out of Matthew 6, and this is the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Y'all hear me say these words all the time. On earth as it is in heaven. Bill Johnson says if it exists in heaven, it's supposed to exist on earth. Based on the Lord's Prayer. If it exists in heaven, it's supposed to exist on earth. All right, I want to ask you guys a question. What does that mean? On earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Does that mean come down and rapture us and escape us and get us out of here? It says on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? What does that look like? No sickness. Sin curse. Broken. Sin curse under his feet. Sin curse with no authority. Not just sickness. Part of Romans 6 that we were talking about is when we are baptized with Christ, you know what gets killed and goes into that grave and goes into that tomb? The sin curse, the power of sin over us. So the power of sin is broken in that. If the power of sin has no authority in heaven, then it's not supposed to have any authority on earth, right? So that's what that looks like. That's what it means. What else? What's in heaven? The glory of the Father. The presence of the Father. What is the one thing that is the most overwhelming thing about heaven? It's not a sea of glass. It's not the river or the trees or anything like that. What is the most overwhelming thing in heaven based on our study of Revelation and Isaiah and all of that stuff? What is the one absolute most awe-inspiring thing of heaven? It's the presence of God. It's the presence of God. It's the presence of God. And if that is the most significant, if that is the epitome of heaven, what's the worst thing about hell? The absence of the presence of God. Everybody's like, well, it's a lake of fire and it's going to be torment and all that. Yes, it is. But the most absolute, most miserable thing about hell is the absence of the presence of God. So if the greatest thing about heaven is the presence of God and the worst thing about hell is the absence of the presence of God, then what should our job be on the earth? To bring in His presence. To usher in His presence. Because if His presence is the supreme, ultimate thing, and then if we bring that into earth, then you know what that does? It begins to set things in proper order. When you are absolutely in the presence of God, Kenny, you don't have a problem sinning, do you? I don't. It's when I get outside the presence and go over the railroad tracks. And my old man starts coming back. And my flesh starts rearing up. And all of that stuff. That's when I have trouble. But when I'm in the presence. When I'm... I didn't have any problem sinning yesterday. I didn't have any problem sinning driving home from Augusta. I didn't have any problem sinning... You know, from Batesburg, I didn't have a problem sinning when I'm sitting up there in a place where the glory is just. I didn't have any problem sinning down here on Sunday morning. Anybody have a problem with sin? I didn't have a problem with sin Sunday morning because we were in the glory. James, did you have a problem with sin when you're sitting there and you see a little young lady down here and tears streaming down her face because she just accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior? Did you have problems with sin in that moment? I didn't. I was just glorious of what God was doing, His presence and the redemption and all of that stuff. Yes, yes. And so what should our ultimate thing be if on earth as it is in heaven, what should it be? To usher in the presence of God. You know how you fix your home? His presence. You know how you fix your kids? His presence. You know ultimately how you fix any addiction, guys? His presence. These guys ain't coming in and spinning 12-step program with y'all. Some of y'all tried a 12-step program. Right? You know what's ultimately going to change it? Getting that relationship with God where it needs to be, and that turns you and changes you into a new man. Then all of a sudden the old things are passed away and all things become new. And then I walk in power and authority in right design. And the old man dies and the flesh dies with it, and I walk in newness of life. That's how you get set free. That's how I get set free. That's how you guys get set free. On earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? That's what it means. What does that look like? That's the thing. It can look like a lot of different things. I began to make some notes and jot down some things on that. What does thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that look like? The first thing that came to my mind, since we're talking about the first century church, was the disciples waiting in Jerusalem for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Because he told them, he said, go, wait, tarry, don't leave until the Holy Spirit shows up. So 120 of them made it for 10 days. I wonder, we don't know how many started, but 120 of them made it for 10 days. That's what thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. On earth, that's what it looks like. We are waiting for God's moment. We are waiting for God's time. And can you imagine Mary, when the Holy Spirit comes in and says, you're going to be impregnated, or God came in, the angel came in and said, you're going to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit. You're going to birth the Son of God. He's going to save His people from their sins. He's going to be the Messiah. You think about that. You know what heaven looks like? Mary's sitting here with anticipation, waiting on the moment she got pregnant, then waiting on a 9-month gestation period before she ever looked on the face of the Son of God the whole time. I know you're jazzed up because Kennedy's inside of you and it's awesome, and you get the little 4D and I wonder what she's going to look like, and I wonder what her personality's going to be like, and all of these things. Can you imagine if you're carrying the Messiah of the world in your womb? And she's sitting there for 9 months, and she's sitting on that promise, and she's sitting on that word. And she's carrying it, and she's faithful in carrying it. And Joseph's faithful in the fact he never even touched her. He didn't lay a hand on her until the baby was born. Son, you're living in, he's an honorable man. I tell you what, that cat's an honorable man. And he walks it out and he does it right. And after Jesus is born, then she walks it out for another 30 years, waiting for the manifestation of the Son of God, waiting for John the Baptist to make the declaration, behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world, waiting for the declaration of the Holy Spirit descending upon him where he can say. She was up so much, I believe that the wedding at Cana, I believe she was so about to bust that she jumped the starting gun. If she had been in a race, she'd have got disqualified because she jumped the starting block. She said, they're out of wine, do something. And he said, woman, my time's not come yet. And she said, I've been sitting on this for 30 years. And I believe that so moved Father God. He said, Jesus said, do it. Do it. She looked at the servant. She said, whatever he says, do. Whatever he says, do. That's what thy kingdom come, thy will be done looks like. It's sitting on that word and sitting on that promise and being faithful to it and holding on to it and not necessarily enduring it, but just embracing the process and saying, God, I know what you said and I know what you promised and I know what I believe you're going to do. And I know that there's some significance in this house. I know there's significance in these people. I know there's significance in my life. I know there's significance in the connections. I know there's significance in these things. And I'm, God, I'm waiting on you and I'm sitting here and I'm trusting in you. That's what on earth as it is in heaven looks like. But you know, the next thing that I begin to think on, what does this look like? I come in here and I immediately begin to, I'm looking at the first century church and in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2. You know what then it looks like? I wrote down two things on these page of notes right here. The first thing that I wrote down, what does it look like, is waiting for a moment of opportunity. And we talked about the disciples. We talked about Mary. What about Zacchaeus? He climbed a tree and then waited on Jesus. He climbed a tree and waited on Jesus. Climbed a tree and wait. Some of you have been praying for revival. Some of you have been believing for revival. Some of you have been longing for revival. Some of you have been longing to see God move and stir and see lives change and see people delivered and see people healed and see all of these things of God and saying, God, I've seen it before and I'm ready to see it again. I'm tired of walking around this mountain. I'm tired of being in the wilderness personally. I'm tired of being in the wilderness corporately. God, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. And you climbed a tree and you waited on Jesus and you waited on God and you waited on God and you were faithful in doing that. And that's what it looks like. But then the next thing that I wrote down in Acts chapter 2, and we could go verses 1 through 21. You know what happened? Then the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit arrived. And they received it. And they began to preach with boldness. And they began to declare with boldness. And they began to do things with boldness. You know what I wrote right there? Then they seized the moment when it arrived. That's what thy kingdom come, thy will be done looks like. Sometimes it looks like waiting, but when the moment arrives, you know what? There's not time for waiting. Now is the not time for waiting, Victory Fellowship. Now is not the time for waiting. Now is not the time, God. Now is the time for seizing. Now is the time for seizing. Now is the time when somebody finally nudges you and said, Bartimaeus, he's close enough now. He was blind. He couldn't see. But somebody had to nudge him, or he had to hear the commotion close enough to say, he is in earshot distance now. And so he starts screaming out, Jesus, 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 thou son of David, have mercy on me. So what does God do? God, Jesus, he stops and it gets his attention and he sees the moment, guys. He sees the moment. He sees the moment. The disciple sees the moment. Peter and John, man, we rolling one chapter over this. Peter and John are going into the temple. There's a lame guy, been laying, the same cat been laying there for 30 years. For 30 years. Every time they went in the temple, they saw the dude. They probably slung some prayers his way. Probably slung some coin his way. That's what he was wanting because he wasn't expecting anything more. But that was before Pentecost. And then when Pentecost was there and the wait was over, then now what time was it? Now it was time for silver and gold have I none, but such as I have in the name of Jesus, I give you, rise and walk. And he picked him up by the hand and he said his ankles were strengthened and his feet were strengthened. He began to leap and dance and praise God wildly in the temple. And everybody marveled and was amazed. But Peter and John recognized, you know what the kingdom of heaven looks like? Now is the time. I heard a minister make a statement about John the Baptist. Y'all know the scripture that says, never has been born a greater man than John the Baptist. Y'all familiar with that scripture? What made John great? How many miracles did he perform? You know of any miracles? I think it's something even more than that, brother. Elijah performed more miracles. Elisha performed more miracles. Right? They performed more miracles. Shoot, the apostles performed more miracles. Apostle Paul raised somebody from the dead. Right? Peter raised somebody from the dead. They're coming in here doing all of these crazy things. But the Word said that never has been a man born greater than John the Baptist. And I heard a minister say this, and I agree with this 1,000%. He said the thing that made John great was the day that he was born in. He was the only man that was able to make the declaration and the proclamation, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. That's what made him great. It's not necessarily who he was, but when he was on the scene. He was born for such a time as this. He was born in such a moment as this. He was born for such a day as this. And what we have to do is we have to decide, is this my time? Is this my moment? Is this my destiny? Is this my purpose? Is this what God created me before or created me for? And I look at your husband right now and I say yes. I say yes. I look at the sweep of influence he's got right now. I look at him fulfilling stuff that was declared in this house 20 years ago that did not come to pass. It did not manifest. The revivals did not manifest because there was nobody in his position to help not only cultivate this thing, but to run with a like pursuit. There was nobody to run with a like pursuit. But now God has put him in a place where he can burn and run with like pursuit, and he is going to fulfill stuff that was declared 20 years ago in this house. Amen? Bremen missed their chance when they... I shouldn't say that because revival can jump over there. Bremen could have hired him, but they didn't. I was disappointed when Nick didn't get the Bremen job. I was. I was like, dang it. Man, I was hoping that was it. That was his moment. That was his opportunity. He could slide in, and soon as Tony retired, then boy, Nick just jumps in and takes right over. God said, I got something better for him than that. I got a place, and I got a moment, and I got a time, and there's going to be greatness. If he will stay in a, if you and him, I'm going to go ahead and declare this, if you and him will run together in a like pursuit, Jamie, there's going to be greatness that's going to flow out of the ministry that you guys are going to be doing. I'm serious. This thing's bigger than what we do. Oh, that's cool, man. We have 5 kids get saved. That's awesome. This thing's bigger than that. This thing's bigger than that. It is bigger than that. Absolutely. And do what he has said in front of you, what he's prepared for the opportunity. I sat in the office yesterday, and it's basically a lodge. It was built by a man, Lyndon's father. It's a very wealthy man. He died last year, and it's Damon's office now, but all this. But the Clemson Athletic Board of Directors still have their board meetings there. He was chairman of the board. He's the guy that hired Dabo Swinney. I've never been a Clemson fan. I'm starting to be one now. They said when they got ready to hire him, Lyndon's dad, he said, you just got to know the cat. You ever seen the movie Facing the Giants? And Dabo's just kind of like, yeah, I've seen the movie Facing the Giants. You think we can do that in a college? I know that's a high school, but you think we can do that in a college? And Dabo's like, I believe we might can. I believe we might can. Said they hired that man because of his extreme faith, not because he was a great football coach. Said that's the reason he got hired. On the Clemson practice field, they have got a baptismal tank that is permanently there. It is not for ice baths. It is not for drinking out of. It is for baptismals only. They said his first 2 or 3 years there, he caught heck. There were people wanting to run him out of town. They ain't saying it now because they played for the national championship last year. But that's somebody saying for such a time as this. Let's stay true to the moment that we're. Let's stay true to the moment that we are in. Let's stay true to the opportunity that is set in front of us, and let's seize that opportunity and let's seize that moment. And this minister was saying, "This is why I believe John the Baptist was the greatest, because the day that he was born in, and the proclamation that he was able to make, and no one else had ever been able to, nor will ever get to make that one proclamation again. Behold the Lamb. This is his coming out." This is what we've been waiting on. This is what humanity's been waiting on. And he seized that moment. He stumbled later on in his life, man. He was even doubting. He sent word to Jesus, are you here? Or should we look for another? Dude, your moment was to declare. Your one shining thing was to declare. But the bottom line, guys, is how do we bring heaven to earth? You know what it looks like? It looks like last Sunday. That's what it looks like. It looks like last Sunday. It looked like that crusade. It looked like that 20-something-year-old girl walking into her cancer doctor's office and saying, look, And the doctor being so messed up and so taken aback, she couldn't see another patient for 2 hours. And her mom and daddy saying, "We're moving, and we gotta get there. We gotta be there. We gotta be around this, because who knows if I'll have this opportunity again? This is better than the right house coming on the market. It's better than the right person. I had to catch you between boyfriends so I could get you. You know, it's better than that." This is God saying, bam, this is a window of opportunity. This is a season. This is a time. This is a moment. I firmly believe, Beth, I've been in some good stuff in my life since I got saved. We've been in a lot of good stuff together. But I am more excited about this moment in kingdom life than I have ever been. Everything else pales in comparison to what I feel like God's wanting to do right now. Not just go globally, but right here. But right here. But right here. In this house, in this region. Part of it started with me and Lori. Part of it started with part of this recent journey that we're on. You know what part of it started with? A significant part of it. We married ourselves to this place. Because I had not done that until recently. In all of these years, be honest with you, Sharon, I really didn't even like Bremen. I didn't. I did not like the whole fake 10-cent millionaire persona and all this stuff. Like, you know, I grew up a county boy and had a little chip on my shoulder a little bit or something. I don't know. I didn't even like Bremen. I'm like, God, really? Really? My kids go to school there, and I got doggone a coach there, and they make me wear a dang Bremen blue with a B on there. You know, it's kind of like, what's up with that? Maybe that's one reason that I kicked against the pricks for 20 years, because I never married myself to this place. I never married myself to this region. I never married myself to this town. I never married myself to this county. I always thought how grand Missoula, Montana would be. Anywhere but here. But you know what? You couldn't get me out of here with a stick of dynamite right now. Because I know this is a place, an appointed place from God. And dude, I don't care what church around, anywhere, you couldn't get me in another assembly right now with a stick of dynamite. Passion City could call me up and say, "Hey, come over here and be pastor. We'll pay you $200,000 a year." I'd say, "No thanks. I'd be taking a demotion." Because I'm exactly where God's planted us. And when we married ourselves, this, y'all married yourself. That was significant. You know what they did? And I'm not hating on Bremen right now, guys. I love Bremen now. God's turning this around. I love Bremen right now. God planted me in this place. But you know what Nick and Jamie did? They took their kids out of Bremen school system that they fought so hard to get their kids in Bremen school system. And God told them to take their kids out of Bremen school system and put them in the Harrison County school system as a sign and as a stance that we are all in. Because God's planted us in that school system. I applaud y'all for that. And you know what? They will flourish and they will thrive there because it's where God planted y'all. I believe this to every core of my being, guys. Jeff, I ain't worried about you getting blown up going up there to Campo Dios. Am I saying that right? Campo Dios. Okay, Campo Dios. Jeff had people discouraging him from going up there. They said, "It's too dangerous. Don't go up there. It's too close to the rebels. It's too close to this, and it's too close to that." I love the fact that Jeff's like, "My God's bigger than rebels. I ain't worried about that and all of this stuff." So just with faith, he's like, "Hey, you know why it's flourishing? Because you married yourself to it. Other people said it was too dangerous. Other people said it was too hard to get to. You're going to crash your motorcycle going up there. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be messy and all that stuff. But you married yourself to it. And you said, this is a moment. This is an opportunity. And you seized that. And you know what? That's what thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven looks like." When those kids see you riding up that old rutted road with your motorcycle and it's loaded down like the Grinch's sleigh, you know what they see? on earth as it is in heaven. That's what they see. On earth as it is in heaven. That's what they see when you're going to come rolling into town, Micah. It's on earth as it is in heaven. That's what they're going to see. On earth as it is in heaven. I believe this is a key to the power, guys. I believe this is a key to the power. I want to throw this. I know this has been a slant toward our people, and I apologize. I always try to. Man, I love you guys coming, and I want to minister to y'all every week. I want to pour God into y'all and kingdom into y'all because God will radically change your life. I believe if you come in and you have encounter with Him, He will radically change your life. So I'm going to try to take this and transfer this. You know how this applies to you guys? Like pursuit. Don't look into everybody kind of gravitates toward different people and kind of buddies up toward people and all that. You know what we do is we'll tend to gravitate toward people that have like interests as us and different things like that. You know, me and you started connecting, brother, because we both like to fly fish. So you know what we'll start talking about, man? You know, a little top water and a caddis hatch and stuff like that and everything. I hope it goes way deeper than that, and it has. But here's what I want to encourage y'all to do. Y'all find somebody that is in like pursuit. Somebody that says, man, I just don't want to do my 10 months and get out of here, but because y'all both played baseball or something, that ain't the guy you need to hook up with and let God start knitting you together. You know who you need to hook up with? Somebody that has like pursuit. Somebody that says, I believe this 10 months can and will change my life. And I'm going to go after that. I'm going to go after finding myself. I'm going to go after finding God. I'm going to make myself vulnerable to these men in leadership. I'm going to make myself vulnerable to the Holy Spirit and what He wants to do in me. And you, man, you look for people that have that like pursuit. And you let God connect you with those guys. And you know what? Y'all run this race together. And this 10 months won't be hell. This 10 months will be on earth as it is in heaven. That's what it'll be. That's what it'll be. It'll be on earth as it is in heaven. And inner healing, as hard as it may be, it won't be hell. You know what it'll be? On earth as it is in heaven. Because you'll know that you're in the Master's hands, and the Master is coming in, and He is doing the work that He needs to do. And you'll have other guys that God's doing the same thing in them, and y'all have like pursuit. And that's how you flourish. That's not how you survive. That's how you flourish. And that's how you impact that out there. That's how you impact that out there. What time is it, somebody? I feel like I've preached about it out of time. 2:10, good time to call it. Anybody got any comments? Anybody got any comments? I tell you what, I think a good way for us to end this, well, let's just come on down here and let's pray together for her. Is everybody cool with that? Y'all cool with praying for a 15-year-old kid tonight? Everybody good with that? Am I cool to share the story of one of the stories about Sunday that you shared with us about her sister? What's her name? Kami. Okay. Yep. Cool story right here, guys. All right. Do I do that all the time? I ask sometimes. If she'd have said no, it's private. Well, sorry. This is an awesome story, okay? This happened in this house Sunday. This happened in this house Sunday. When we had the altar call for, you need to, if you're not right with God, you need to move. If it looks like first time salvation, if it looks like rededication, whatever that looks like. Karen, you weren't here either, were you? I am sorry. Good golly. You'd have been doing backflips in the corner over there. Anyway, we had this altar call about getting right with God and all of this stuff. And there was what, Jeremy, 20 people at least came down here. At least 20 people came down here. And they were circled around. And I was over here praying for folks for physical healing. And Jeremy was over here. And he was praying for these people. And there was one little girl down front. Her sister Savannah played ball for Lisa. And she had gotten saved at an FCA event and got baptized about 6 months ago. Y'all remember the redheaded girl that got baptized about 6 months ago? Well, this is her little sister. She's standing down front, tears streaming down her face. And I'm like, oh, this is good right here. I am digging this, man. I am locked in on this chick. You know, and I was just specifically praying for her and all of this stuff. And it was, I knew God was just wrecking her world. Well, she goes and her dad's a firefighter at Villarica. Is it Villarica? Temple? Her dad's a firefighter at Temple. She goes, tells her mom, I got saved. I want to get baptized today. I want to get baptized today. And so her mom texts her husband and says, hey, Cammie just got saved. Is there? He's on the job working. Is there any way you can get up here? She wants to get baptized right now. He said, man, let me ask my and TW could tell me what they call him, the boss. Let me ask a boss and see what he says tonight. When he's going to ask the boss, they get a call for a house fire. And you know what his boss says? He says, we can handle this house fire. You go watch your daughter get baptized. So he comes rolling in here in the fire department of county vehicle or whatever, in his attire and all that, and got to see his daughter that had just got saved get baptized. Is that not awesome? Woo! Yay, God! That's what I want to chase after. I want to chase after 13-year-old girls standing down front with tears streaming down their face. That's what I want to chase after. That's what I want to chase after. That's what I want to chase after, guys. You know, I'm done with just, you know, let me kind of smooth you and show you my church is better than the church down the street, so hopefully you'll start coming to my church. I want people's lives to be radically changed. Radically changed. We're probably going to talk, I don't know how and when, but real quick, we're going to talk about mine and Brett's conversation this morning. I'm going to teach on a Wednesday night on that. And it's some powerful stuff on that, on our responsibility. There's a front, there's a middle, and there's a backside of that. And there's responsibility in all of these things right here, but we're going to discuss that. Well, let's stand to our feet. Robin, what you got, hon? Yes. Yes, yes. Or physical healing or whatever you need. A salvation. Man, you're not right with God and you want to get right with God. I'm sorry y'all weren't here Sunday, dude. It was jacked up on the Holy Ghost, man. We were like just Jesus steroid Sunday. But if any of you guys, y'all were not in right relationship with Jesus and y'all want to get things right tonight, dude, man, we will pray with you, and we will love you, and we will encourage you, and man, it's all about just encounter with Him, man. I don't ever want y'all to walk out of here and say, man, Victory Fellowship's awesome. I want y'all to walk out of here and say, God is amazing. Jesus Christ is awesome. The Holy Spirit is awesome. Man, I love what God knows my name. God knows my name. He knows where I'm at. He knows where I'm at. So, guys, let's roll in that. We're about to pray. Yes, ma'am. Amen. 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 Our thing on the front end is being evangelical and outreach. And what does that look? It might look like CCC on Thursday night. It might look like Chastain Park. It might look like a homeless shelter. It might look like, you know, the guy at Walmart. But here's the thing, guys, is we have to, the reason you saw the paleness and the lack of life is because you saw them through the Father's eyes. Half of those people were probably driving Volvos in the parking lot, or Mercedes and all that stuff. But you saw them the way the Father saw them. Okay, so as God stirs in you, there is going to be opportunity to serve. Yep, just hook up with Tanya. Give her a shout. Give her a shout. All right, y'all ready? Lisa, come on down. Let's pray for this young lady. Come on, buddy, everybody. Y'all come on down. If any of you guys, anybody, not just Blake House guys, any of you guys, you're like, man, I didn't move Sunday, and I need to move today. God stirred in my heart. Man, you after we pray for this, get in the altar. We will pray with you. We will lift you up and just bring you into this place. Lisa, what's this young lady's name again?
I call her Marlon, but her name's Blaine.
Blaine? All right. Blaine. All right. Back.